on it fell over and spilled vinegar-smelling wine across the table and onto the floor in a thin stream. Kin watched it for a while, then carefully set the jug upright. It swished. Looking inside, she saw dark liquid rising. She waited until the jug was brim full of swirling redness, then grabbed the handle, sloshed the liquid across the room, and brought the base of the jug down hard against the tabletop. There was a sizzle and a brief smell of ozone. Bits of circuit laminate bounced on the floor. "Fine," she said softly. "That's just fine. So long as it wasn't the fairies that were doing it." On the other hand, the company didn't believe in matter transmission either. But it might have been, say, a tiny single-function dumbwaiter in the base of the jug, sucking up molecules from the ambient air. She decided she'd believe anything but magic. Someone moved down at the base of the staircase. There was nowhere to hide. Correction. The tower room was bursting with hiding places, but none of them promised to be permanent. Kin grabbed a sword from a pile nearby and considered hacking at the first head to appear on the stairs. No good. She looked up at a small trap door in the ceiling and decided it would be easier to defend. If it led onto the roof, perhaps the raven would see her, as if that would do any good. Anyway, she could then slice at fingers. She walked over to the horse statue and hoisted herself into a stirrup, then stood on tiptoe in the saddle to fumble with the trap door. The horse whirred. Kin swayed, landed, sitting in the saddle, but with enough force to knock the breath out of her. Then she couldn't move her legs. She looked down in panic. Padded clamps had extruded from the horse's flanks and were gripping her gently but firmly. The neck in front of her came up. The head swiveled 180 degrees, and the horse looked at Kin with bright, insectile eyes.
"Your wish is my command," it said inside Kin's head.
Hell,
those are not meaningful coordinates.
"Are you a robot?" She felt the click and whir of gears underneath her.
"I am the fabulous mechanical horse of Ahmed, Prince of Trebizond."
Kin heard scurrying footsteps on the stairs.
"Get me out of here," she hissed.
"Please hold on to the reins. Please lower the head. In case of malaise of the air, please use the receptacle provided."
There was a thud inside the animal and the noise of heavy wheels tumbling into motion. The horse took off. As they glided smoothly through the window, Kin flung herself forward to avoid the edge of the wall. And then the horse was free and moving, legs galloping on the air as it soared into the copper sky. Kin looked at the sword in her hand. It was night black and unnaturally light, but it would do. It would be surprising if Abu had learned how to use the lift belts yet, so possibly his only other aircraft was the carpet. If it came to an aerial fight, she'd prefer to be on the horse.
"Your further wish is my command."
"You can start by telling me how you fly," said Kin, peering at the gardens below.
"Abanazard, the magician, fabricated me. I fly by application of the compound upswinging weight engine, which requires the continued intervention of the Djinni Zola at the critical point."
"Do you know of a zoo in the palace grounds?"
"Yes."
"Land inside it, then."
"To hear is to obey, O mistress."
The horse started to gallop in a descending spiral. Kin was briefly aware of upturned faces as they raced at roof height back towards the palace. A ragged line of dusty trees flashed past, and Kin realised they were landing in a wide avenue between rows of low cages, dark and forbidding in the gathering dusk. Her mount touched down neatly, hooves galloping smoothly from empty air to packed earth. Something hurled itself against the bars of the nearest cage, and she got a vague impression of wings and teeth. Plenty of teeth. "Marco?" Things shrilled and sneezed in the shadows of the cages.
"Over here!"
Kin urged the horse forward until she saw Marco's gleaming eyes looking urgently between bars thick enough to have been tree trunks. Perhaps they were. Kin jiggled them until they slid back noisily. Marco came out as though on a spring.
"Give me the sword," he commanded.
Kin had almost handed it over before it occurred to her that she could have refused, and then it was too late. He snatched it.
"Is this the best you could do?" he hissed. "It's blunt as a ball."
"Big deal. I could have gone off and left you." Marco tapped the flat of the black sword on one open palm and looked at her reflectively.
"Yes," he said. "You could. This sword will do. Thank you. From where did you obtain the flying?